Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we'll focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Zampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire.
Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This episode is sponsored by Smart Habits for Marketing Your Business in Unexpected Ways, the webinar that we hosted earlier this year and that's now available on demand. In this 75-minute webinar recording, you will learn how to market your business in ways you may not have considered before. Make marketing your business feel like less of a chore and more like a natural part of your workday, and use platforms and tools you already have experience with to market your business without feeling salesy. By purchasing this on-demand webinar, you'll get a recording that you can watch at your convenience, as well as the outline with our slides and a handy workbook that you can fill out as you go along. Plus, you can submit any questions to us by email. We're offering our listeners $10 off. Simply head to bit.ly/smartmarketinghabits and use the code SMARTHABITS at checkout to get a discount.
Yes, check out this on-demand webinar. We had such lovely feedback from the group, and we're sure that you'll get a lot out of it as well. And stay tuned for future virtual events with us. We're working on some fun offerings.
Yeah, and also I wanted to mention, by the way, before we start today, did you know that this is not our anniversary per se of the podcast, but like we're right around, a year and a half? I think right now, as we were recording this, and we have over 40 episodes, which is hard to believe, but it also feels like we just started this yesterday.
Exactly.
But anyway, I just thought I would throw that out there. I thought that was a fun little tidbit of information. It almost feels like we've been doing this for several years, but we really haven't. But yeah, it's nice to see now we have more than 40 episodes.
Yeah, wow.
But before we dive into today's topic, let's share what's new with us. So let's see, with me, I have been working on a lot of client projects lately in different areas. I'm continuing teaching my course LinkedIn for Translators and Interpreters through Training for Translators. And I've been staying very busy with the American Translators Association. We are finalizing the schedule for the annual conference. And we have finalized the speakers at this point, and they will be notified pretty soon. I may have said that in the last episode, but we had to make some final changes to the lineup. And it's been very busy for me with client work. Lots of interesting projects coming in, a lot of return clients, which I'm really happy about. And it's starting to get really hot here in Southern California. So I'm expecting a lot of days where I'll have like early exercise sessions before the heat kicks in, but the sun is out right now, so I cannot complain. What about you?
Yeah, pretty much similar to your, except the conference preparation stuff, organizing the conference. I keep plugging along on personal projects that I shared in our last episode, and I worked on some really fun translation and localization projects recently. I feel like work has increased, even though I shouldn't complain about last year, but I feel like it's really picking up now. And I had a project recently where my audio editing skills were put to good use, which was so fun and cool. It was a project involving both translation and localization and recording audio of the text in Russian. And my client had some requirements to the quality of the audio and like creating those files and various parameters there. Mm-hmm. So I was super happy that I had experience working with audio through our podcast. So that was an unexpected benefit of editing our podcast episodes.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm always telling you, you should be selling editing services too, in addition. Yeah, it's a skill. It's wonderful.
Something to think of for sure.
Cool.
And I've been quite busy with various ATA work. Very excited about some upcoming webinars that we're organizing through ATA and workshops that we have in the pipeline. We have a workshop soon that I am really interested in participating as well on transcreation. And then on a personal front, my oldest child is about to start her summer holiday, which means school will be closed. And I'll have kids at home a lot more than I've, you know, been used to now in the past few months. And I have to practice what I preached, or what you and I preached in our recent episode on managing freelance work and parenthood. And we also plan to take some family vacation this year, which is also so weird. Like, wait, we can plan vacation. I mean, with all the precautions, and of course, unfortunately, we can't travel to Europe and see our family, but we'll still try and do something fun together as a family this summer.
Very cool. It is a strange thing to think about, but it's also exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Little by little.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into the meat of today's episode, which is a conversation about finding mentors and surrounding yourself with people who encourage you and push you to be better at your craft. This can feel like a difficult thing to do, especially in a profession where we're so used to working alone and behind the scenes, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I alluded to this a little bit in other episodes, I think, because I think it bears further acknowledgement that it's not always the easiest thing to do, especially if you're a new translator or interpreter. Like, for one thing, when you're new, you really are trying to figure out what's what and who's who, and it's not that easy to know where to start. And finding somebody who will guide and encourage you can feel almost impossible. So, you know, I think it's always important to try to sort of find your people, if you will. But one thing I would say when it comes to surrounding yourself with people who encourage and push you to be better at your craft is to really get involved in the translation and interpreting community. So you can do that through social media, through volunteering in a professional organization, by going to conferences and networking events, and there are probably more things too that I'm not even thinking of. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And that's my number one advice to colleagues or anyone really who reaches out to me and say they're just starting out in our field. And I always tell them, join an association, get involved, start talking to colleagues, just find opportunities to meet even online with colleagues working in these fields, and observe and listen, just be like a sponge. And don't start out all nervous about your experience or lack of experience. And I'm always in awe of colleagues who are just, you know, making their first steps in translation or interpreting, and who are very active in professional associations, because they really have, even though it, you know, you might think, oh, I have nothing to contribute, I'm just a beginner, but you do have a lot to contribute. And that's an amazing opportunity to learn from others and to grow. And another thing that I think is crucial is to be perceptive and learn from others. And that's hard to do when you are in that mindset of seeing competitors everywhere. So I feel like one of the first steps is to stop seeing competition everywhere and start seeing colleagues. And that will allow you to be open to new ideas, to observe behavior of other people and their professional practices, and notice what you could learn from them, and potentially see something you admire and want to start implementing yourself. And that will also help you look outside of your immediate circle of interest, be it your language pair or your subject field, you know, and I know we'll talk about it later on too, but I think it's really important to be open to learning from others. And that's not possible to do when you're only seeing competitors everywhere.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I can totally agree with that. And I also think what you said was very important about joining an association early on. I did that from the very beginning. Yeah. And I am certain that that is why I was connected to people very quickly. And those are people you can kind of like grow with,
right?
If that makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah, I had the same experience. I joined very early on in my freelance career. And then I think it's important to know what exactly you are looking for when it comes to a possible mentor or when trying to surround yourself with others who push you to be better. And in my experience, the reason many formal or informal mentoring relationships fail or people feel like they didn't get out of it as much as they expected is mm-hmm. because both parties were not clear about their expectations and their wants and needs from the start, and what they're able mm-hmm. to provide, and what questions they have. And even in an informal mentoring relationship, as someone who is looking for a mentor, you need to first take a step back and think through some questions like, what are my goals? What am I trying to achieve? What do I already know? And what is it that I don't know much about yet? And I need help with that. What are the main roadblocks that I see? What are my strengths? And where do I see potential for improvement? And I think the answers to these questions will be helpful as you meet new people, because you've identified your points of reference, and it'll be easier to tell when you click with the right person or several people on one of these points or several of these points. And I just want to say that I think in our profession, it is important not to get locked in a mindset that a mentor must work in the same language combination or work in the same field as you do. As much as feedback related to these things is important, there's a lot we all can learn from each other on the way we run our business, the way we communicate with our clients, with our colleagues, just the way we develop as professionals. And it doesn't matter what languages or clients we serve. There have been times in my career where I really looked for language-specific feedback, and other times when I just wanted to get out there and talk to peers who work in other fields and learn from them. So what about you? How do you decide, or have you figured out before, what you want in a mentor or a community of peers or people that you look up to make you better at your work?
Yeah, that's interesting. I really like the way that you think about it, because I think that that's a good way to look at it. I'm like you, I don't think that you necessarily need to find a mentor or have your community only made up of people in your language pair or in your specialization. In fact, I have learned, I wouldn't say more maybe, but a lot from people who are not in my same language pair and specialization, or even in translation and interpreting,
yes.
right? They're in a whole different field. And I consider those people also to be, part of my, I guess, larger mentoring community, because it's amazing when you just start to see how other people do things or handle things or carry themselves. It can give you some different ideas and inspiration for your own business, your own work. But I also think it's important to try to be aware of, but try to tune out what may not be in your best interest. Because I hear from a lot of people, I don't know if you hear this too, but I hear from a lot of people that they feel like they should do something a certain way, or they feel like they're not good enough until they have a certain certification, or
right.
they don't have enough years of experience, so they can't call themselves specialized, or, you know, lots of different things. And I will tell you, it doesn't matter if you started a year ago or 20 years ago, you will always have some self-doubt. That just, you know, comes with the territory. It's like, referring back to our episode on imposter syndrome, it's a normal thing. And I think that when we box ourselves into this, you know, mentality of saying, I'm supposed to go this way, I'm supposed to go down this path, or I should do something this way, because that's the way everybody else does it, or that's the way it seems like it's supposed to be, because that's what I've watched happen, or whatever it is, like growing your business or becoming more specialized, or however you decide to grow as a professional. Everybody's different, you know, everybody's completely different.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's the good thing. That's why we all have our own ideal clients. That's why we all have our own path. You know, nobody gets into this profession the same way. You don't hear too many of the same stories from different people. You know, everybody came about it in a different way. But also, I think it's really important to not, like I said, get boxed into a situation where you feel like this is my only path. And I'll give you an example. Sometimes I get it a lot less now, but I got it, you know, several years ago for a while, where people didn't understand that I do freelance work and I also run a small agency business. They thought, and some people still think, no, you need to do one or the other, or you're not good at either one, or something like that. They don't say that to me, obviously, but that's the impression that you can get from a lot of colleagues. It's like, wait a minute, we none of us are just like one path professionals.
Right.
You know, if we don't want to be, if you want to be, fine, perfect, great, do that. But if you choose not to, and you choose to do different things in your business and have various types of services or various branches of your business, good for you. Mm-hmm. You know, the only people that you need to answer to really are your clients in that case, but your colleagues and people in your life, and may not even necessarily be colleagues, but the people who encourage you to be better at what you do are the people you should be listening to. That's the way mm-hmm. I see it. So kind of like tuning out what may not be in your best interest. And I'm not saying to be naive. Like if somebody's really trying to help you and saying, you know, this is maybe not the way to go about this. Okay, fine. But I hear from different people and they'll say, well, what do I say on my website? Because I don't know how to mention like what I do and what my services are, and what will my colleagues think if I say that? And I'm like, what? Yeah. It's like, I said this the other day in a course I was teaching. It's like that little brain, that emoji where the brain explodes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it's not about that, right? Mm-hmm. Your colleagues are not the ones paying your bills. It is really, you set the path. You get to work for yourself. So choose that path and do it in a way that makes you happy. That's the way I think of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think?
Yes, I agree. I would also say when it comes to, listening to what the others think about certain things, or even worrying about what they might think, it all comes back to what your goals are.
Exactly.
What are your specific goals?
Yeah.
And what are the points of reference that you have outlined for your work goals, your personal life, mm-hmm. whatever, wherever you want to, go on this path. Mm-hmm. And if there is some advice or discussions out there that you feel don't match your goals or values or interests, or make you feel inadequate in some way, just, I would say, save your emotional and mental bandwidth mm-hmm. and move on and just follow your goal and look other places for inspiration. Don't get bogged down in what the other people think or, might think about what you do. Mm-hmm. And if, as you said, there are certain things that, yes, it's important to be perceptive to feedback, and it's important to be open to other people's opinions, of course, mm-hmm. but there are points in time where you have to decide my energy is limited and I need to use it wisely. So if I have a goal in mind, I really need to focus on that and not as much on what the others might think.
Right. And on the flip side, there are, and I don't want to make it sound like there aren't, because there absolutely are. And that's what this episode is all about. There mm-hmm. are wonderful colleagues, right? There are wonderful people to surround yourself with. So that's where I'm going with that, is like, that's who you should be looking for.
Yes,
they are out there, and they will support you and encourage you and even guide you if you so need that,
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. And that's why you have to be strategic in who you follow and what you, whose advice you listen to and who is your inspiration. Because you can't cast too broad a net. You have to really be specific in, and that's why it's helpful to have those goals in mind and your points of reference, because then you know who are the people that make you better and inspire you and help you grow, instead of bringing you down and having doubts about yourself and feeling like an imposter so on. And because you have a limited time, you have limited energy, and so spend it in places where it's really important and where it matters. Mm-hmm. Another thing I've heard before is that you can even have mentors from afar. And you've mentioned that to, a broader mentoring circle community. Mm-hmm. So these would be people who you look up to, but maybe you've never even met them or interacted with them, but you admire them for what they do or how they carry themselves, or what they've achieved, a certain way they behave or treat others or treat their work. And this really resonates with me as well. There are colleagues around, both people I know personally and some who I've never met in person, that I follow with that exact mindset. It's people who inspire me by the way they carry themselves, weather the storms, sustain pressure and interact with others, treat other people, treat their clients, talk about our profession. Mm. And I feel that those examples are just as valuable as a one-on-one mentoring relationship. Yes. Because you're able to pick up on those things. And if they really resonate with you, they're going to become a part of your own journey. And I'm not talking about someone else's entire persona and like becoming a different person, but just, you know, adopting a specific character trait or behavior that you admire or respect. And I find that as I make a mental note of that, anytime I notice, you know, a colleague doing a specific thing or exhibiting a specific type of behavior that I really admire, when I start doing that, that person comes to mind, and that encourages me to keep going. Mm-hmm. And I think it gave away an example of that in episode 37 with Elizabeth Adams, when we talked about online research. And I said, every time after taking, after attending Elizabeth's sessions at the ATA conference, now every time I do research online, I think of Elizabeth and her curiosity and her like methodical approach to research. Mm-hmm. So that's just one simple example. Or if you know someone who is really calm under pressure, that may be a colleague you look up to, and you want to exhibit the same behavior and, you know, do something similar. So that list can go on. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? Do you also find that you can have mentors and people you look up to and who encourage you, even if you don't know them personally?
Yes, 100%. I think that's true. And I think we're so lucky now that there's so much advanced technology that we can follow these people online and we can observe them and their work and their presentations and the way they carry themselves, like you said, and how they interact with people. I mean, sometimes, like even for example, you'll see somebody share something and then another person posts something like not a nice comment or whatever. And the original person, the one you're following, comes back with, you know, a very like, they take the higher road or something, and they don't stoop down to the lower level. They handle it with very gracefully because, you know, like I said, a lot of this stuff being online these days, you get all kinds of feedback from different people. And so that's something that I really admire, especially with some colleagues, the way that they carry themselves. Or like you said, Elizabeth. Yeah, definitely. She's somebody I think of often in different scenarios, especially like that with research. Another one, Corinne McKay, is somebody who I think of often, like as somebody who's always learning something new, even when you think, doesn't she have enough going on? Right. But it's amazing. And it's inspiring. I mean, I know Corinne and I know Elizabeth, obviously, and that doesn't quite answer your question about not knowing somebody personally. Mm-hmm. But yes, I think you can definitely think of those people as mentors, even if you don't know them, you know, you've never met them or something. I think I did that actually at the beginning of my career when I started more than 12 years ago, when my freelance career. I'll never forget. I went to probably my second or third ATA conference, and they had that book fair, you know, with people signing their books. So I got to meet Judy and Dagmar Jenner.
Oh, cool.
Yes. And I remember it was almost like such a fangirl moment because I hadn't met them before, but I had, you know, I'd read their book. And this was, like I said, this was more than a decade ago, but they were so kind. And because, you know, sometimes you do look up to people and then you meet them and then you're like, it's kind of a letdown, right? But they're totally not. They're wonderful people and they're very professional. And they are also just like very encouraging and very uplifting to a lot of colleagues. I've seen them speak many, many times since then, obviously. It's been years since we've known each other now. But I just see how other like newer colleagues are coming into the professions and they look up to them. And I think that's so nice because they're so willing to give of themselves to help other people. That I admire that even, right? You know, because I was that person before. But yes, I think you can, and I think you should try to find people who, you know, in their own way, knowing or not knowing, encourage you to be better.
Exactly.
So let's kind of switch gears here a little bit. Like, let's say you want to find a mentor. What about the timing of that? That can be tricky depending on what you want to learn or achieve. And you also want to make sure your mentor, you know, hopefully gets something out of it too. So I know that the American Translators Association, for example, we have a mentoring program for people who are more advanced in their careers, but who might want to get into maybe a new area of the market or develop certain specialization, or it's usually mostly about business, but I have heard of people, you know, looking to others to say, like, what do I need to do to get set up as I get into this specialization or something? And in these cases, I think you have to be very specific, again, about what you're looking for.
Right.
Yeah. But you also have to be respectful of the other person's time and efforts. You know, we might need to find a mentor for one thing at a specific time, but then a few years later, we're looking to learn from someone else who has achieved something we'd also like to achieve, like something different or like the next step or next level. You might think of it like that. Yeah. And I think it's important to remember that your mentors can be different people at different stages of your career, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I mentioned to you, when I first started in this career, I looked up, and I still look up to them, but, you know, I looked up to several of our colleagues who now I know very well. Mm-hmm. We're not best friends or anything, but I mean very well. Like we speak often. We work on projects together. We do a lot of stuff together. Mm-hmm. And then, but now if I think of somebody as my mentor, I would say, what am I looking for next? It's not what I was looking for 10 years ago. And I think that's okay.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Has that been your experience too?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You're right in that as you, you know, when if you have an opportunity to have a formal mentoring relationship with someone, it's really important mm-hmm. to define the scope of it. And I experienced myself too as a mentor late last year and early this year. I mentored a colleague and we agreed on the timeline and the scope right away. We knew how many, you know, one-on-one sessions we're going to have virtually and what we're going to cover, what topics she wanted to discuss with me. And so that was clear from the start and that made my job as a mentor so much easier. And I knew that I also knew that I had, you know, had specific time frame that I needed to cover specific topics within that time frame. And it showed me that, you know, we both were very aware of each other's time investment as well. Mm. And that was really helpful. But you're right in that, you know, as your needs evolve as a professional, you will need different things from a formal or an informal mentoring experience. And I actually didn't realize that until a few years ago, but it's, I guess, with time, as you look back, especially for those informal mentoring relationships, as you look back, and that was the case with me, I realized that, for example, in the corporate world, before I started working as a freelance translator, I realize now there were several colleagues that I worked closely with then they were my mentors at that point in the past, even though we didn't call it that. And I didn't, you know, think of them as mentors at the time, even though they were someone I looked up to, but these are the people who really, you know, shaped my work ethic, my, you know, my understanding of specific fields. And I still think of them at various points in time now, as I work through different topics and work on different tasks. And the same holds true now. I'm just more attuned to this fact, I guess. And I realize quicker when someone is a mentor to me, formally or informally. And it may be a specific skill in translation or interpreting that you're working on, or building your specialization, or the way you run the financial side of your business, or marketing yourself. There are so many different things we have to do, especially as freelancers, that it's logical to think that you can have different people who you consider to be your mentors for different parts of your business and different stages of your career. So I agree with that too. And what about just surrounding yourself with people who encourage you and push you in a good way to be better? I think that thing is really important for growth, and just being open to that as well. And you know, realizing when certain people exhibit these types of behaviors that you really admire. For example, it can be colleagues, friends, or people you observe from afar who inspire you and motivate you to keep going or to slow down when you need that. And I find that I'm naturally drawn to people who exhibit the exact behavior that I subconsciously or consciously sometimes think I should be doing, like taking a break or savoring the moment of doing nothing or studying a specific topic or enjoying early morning time or engaging in a creative task or even doing something that I know I must do or but dread. You know, that kind of thing that you know, I should be doing that, but you like postpone it, or you think, you know, you don't have time for it, but then you see someone else doing it and like knocking that task out. And then you're like, oh, that motivates me to get it done too. I think it's important to say that whether you look at someone as your mentor, formally or informally, whether they're in our field or not, it's really important, especially if you're asking mm-hmm. someone for advice and direction. It's really important to be mindful of that person's mm-hmm. time, because mentoring is not something where people expect to, you know, get paid for your services like a coach would if you were to hire a coach on a specific topic. So it's something people do on a voluntary basis because of the love of the profession or a love of specific topic. So it's really important to, and that's something I am really trying to be really conscious of too, as I ask someone for advice. To not, you know, overstep those bounds and not to take too much of their time.
I think that's true. And something I often think about is, I think, you know, I've heard this from different colleagues too. If you're trying to learn a new skill or open a new, you know, like arm of your business or something, it is sometimes worth, well, not sometimes, it's often worth paying somebody who's done it before to show you how to do it. Yeah. I mean, I know colleagues that teach like, mm-hmm. you know, all different ways of, you know, using different cat tools and like real specifics, like really will teach you from A to Z exactly how to handle, you know, mm-hmm. your documents and all these different things and all the updates and different, you know, all of that good stuff. And then there's others that teach interpreting skills to others who want to start interpreting and, you know, various things. I work with colleagues sometimes who hire me for a couple of hours to go over their LinkedIn profiles and show them how to get better clients through LinkedIn. Or, you know, if I wanted to get into localization, which is a lot of what you do, like, you know, the larger mm-hmm. projects you do, like app localization is what I'm talking about. I would hire you, you know, to get into. Yeah, I mean, I think that's worth investing in a little bit of money when mm-hmm. you have it and saying the return on this is that I'm going to be able to later, you know, make money doing this because it's a skill. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think we need to really differentiate with that. Like you said, that, you know, there are mentors and there are coaches and they're often different. But mentors, it's exactly what you said. You need to respect their time too. And something else is to show up to whatever kind of meeting you have, virtual, in person, whatever, prepared. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Because some people say, oh, well, I thought you were going to be my mentor and you're just going to tell me what I should do and teach me. And, you know, it's not a teacher. It's not exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So I feel like there are some gray zones there, but it is something that you really do have to be mindful of when you're using somebody's time that way. Right. But of course, you know, we all have the ability to mentor others or to be mentored. And I think that's a wonderful thing too, clearly. Right.
Yeah.
Something else that I think is important to remember is that your mentor or those you surround yourself with could be in a completely different field or industry. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of mentioned this earlier, but I know that I definitely learn a lot when I look outside of our professions altogether. Yeah. And I learn from people like graphic designers and stuff. Do you do the same thing?
Yes, that is so true. Yeah. And you can actively seek those people out, right? If there is specific field or area, like you mentioned, graphic design, it could be, I don't know, finances or branding or anything else, you know, communication. I think that's an option. And another option is just to be open to learning what other people do as you interact with other people in your lives, because we often underestimate the role that other people that we already have in our lives play in our professional growth. It can be friends, family members, people in your local community, neighbors. There are so many people around us who do something else than we do, and we can learn from maybe some important skills that they have.
And they have other perspectives.
Exactly. They have other perspectives. And that could be, you know, something that's related to your business or just the way you carry yourself. Like there is a neighbor in our neighborhood who I meet every morning, and that person always has a smile on their face. And it just, you know, it takes, that person takes time to engage in genuine conversation with you and like ask, how are you doing? And I feel like that's a rare thing too. And that always reminds me that, you know, since I like it and it really brings something out in me, I want to project that same quality towards others. Or like a friend who maybe shows you the importance of research and fact-checking and being inquisitive, that can be another skill you can learn that is that could be relevant in your profession. And I think as you start noticing these things around other people and taking the time and effort to learn what other people do and reflecting how they make you feel, if they match how you want to project yourself, you start gravitating towards those people. Is this, I guess, that law of attraction, or is that how it's called? You know, you start attracting that type of people around you and seeing more of them. And whether you interact on a daily basis or not, whether you work in the same field or not, just being open to this new information and those lessons and noticing them can help you grow. Both as a professional and as a human being.
Yeah. And by the same token, as you were saying this, it made me think it's also valuable to look at, you know, when you see something that you don't like, or, you know, you see the way that somebody handles something unprofessionally, or, I don't know, goes about something the way that doesn't align, like you said, with your values and your goals, is to take note of that and then think about why, you know. I know that I have seen some different things, you know, in the past several years, many years, I guess now. And I thought, that's something I never want to do in my business. Right. And I remember that because it actually sort of is the flip side of mentoring. It's kind of saying, okay, this is not a best practice. Right. Yeah. And so I think it's important to kind of like judge for yourself what you plan to do. And like you said, go towards your own goals and not necessarily those of other people.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this was a fun episode.
Thanks for that.
But before we wrap up, let's do a smart habit check-in. What kind of, what habit are you working on right now?
Well, I've noticed over the last few months that my good habits started to slip in certain areas. And for example, I started spending more time on email and responding to work emails in the evening. And that, you know, that's something I've been working on not doing. And partially that was a necessity as I was catching up on work after my kids' spring break and then a lot of just a busy season. But then I just kept doing that. So now I have to remind myself, what helps is to pause my inbox with a Boomerang app, which I'm so grateful you mentioned a few times. And I really love it. So just pausing my inbox at the end of my workday, and then I, you know, it kind of forces me to not check it again until the next morning. And I know I'm not missing anything urgent or life-changing because I generally don't accept overnight projects. And that urgency is just all in my head. And also prevents me from, you know, going, oh, I just have to reply to this email real quick. And then you just, you know, go down that rabbit hole, or feeling of email overwhelm and just wanting to knock out a few things I haven't read yet or haven't responded to. And then you forget to do the more important things. So I just love the Boomerang app for those as well. So, you know, just being able to boomerang an email that's not urgent to myself so that it comes back again in a few days when I have more time to handle it. So thanks for that great tip in our previous episodes.
Yeah, I love that. I love that app. Yeah.
What about you?
So I have been trying to work on taking some time each morning right after I eat breakfast and before I wake up my daughter to really take some time just for myself quietly. Like maybe I want to read for a while, which I do read quite a bit, but I sort of got out of that habit, like you said, sort of out of necessity because, you know, when your schedule gets thrown off for various reasons, you know, your kids are home, or obviously a lot of people being home during the pandemic, you kind of just try to get things done whenever you can. And then we don't take that time for ourselves. So I take about 20 minutes, not much, but you know, like about 20 to 30 minutes every morning. And now I have the rest of my coffee after breakfast, on our balcony, which I just redid. And it feels so good in the morning here in Southern California. It's really cool. It's quiet. It's so nice. And I just sit out there and I'll either read or think, or you know, that's something
wonderful.
I think we talked. We talked to Yost about that. We don't make time to think.
Yeah.
To actually say, let me block out everything else and just, you know, let my ideas form. Right. Because we're always distracted by something else.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm working on. It's been really nice.
And that's wonderful.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like that long, but honestly, it almost feels luxurious. Mm-hmm. 20 to 30 minutes. Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. So let's also do one of our fun segments. How about we do what's on your desk?
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right. I'll share mine first and then we'll let you share yours. So I have a new app on my phone that I love. And I don't remember how I came across this. I think it was probably an Instagram ad.
Yeah.
But what's funny is that so far it's been free. I haven't paid for anything. So I think it's free for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Likewise.
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
They do have like a premium version called Likewise Elite, but I haven't done that. So what you do is you put into the app different genres that you like in the fields of podcasts, books, and TV and movies.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then you choose just a few, like, you know me, I like thrillers and suspense and things like that, documentaries And so then it'll bring up titles of things maybe you've read before or podcasts you've listened to, and you go through each category. So like for books, it'll say, choose the 10 best books, like what you think are the best books in this genre or whatever. And if you chose multiple genres, it'll bring up books from all of them, right?
Yeah.
And so you'll choose 10. And then it'll go, okay, so now podcasts, and you choose the podcasts. And then, oh boy, the one that I had a hard time with was TV and movies, cause I don't watch very much anymore.
Yeah.
Not for many years I haven't, but, a few things. And so, but anyway, you select as much as you can, and then it gives you what's called a taste profile. And each time you rate something, it says it improves your profile, but it has basically recommendations for you.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So like books that fall into your genre that you may or may not have read yet. Like movies that are coming out that fit into your area that you may not have heard about, podcasts. So it's constantly giving you suggestions, which is so nice, based on what you already like. So there's no scrolling anymore, looking for things on Netflix for an hour and then decide, okay, there's nothing I want to watch. Yeah, it's really cool. And I think there's a community feature that I haven't gotten into yet where people can ask questions about things. But if you go into the app, it'll say, you know, something like, because you follow suspense, you know, and you mark whether you've seen it or you want to save it, meaning like you've seen it and, you know, don't show me this again, or you want to save it, or you just swipe to the left and skip it. And so it's cool. It just keeps updating based on your preferences. And so it suggests things that are kind of up your like in your next, you could put it in your queue, let's say, like if you keep a book list. I've gotten some really good book recommendations for my list.
Oh, that's awesome.
To read. Yeah. Yeah. So that one's good. What about you?
Okay. So I have an object, a gadget that I've been using a lot that was recommended by our friend, colleague, and guest from episode 30, Eve Baudet. If you remember in that episode, Eve was mentioning how much they listen to music in her family, and she recommended Wonderboom. It's a portable waterproof Bluetooth speaker. And so, of course, because she recommended it and I was looking for something like this, I got it for Christmas from my husband, and I've been using it daily since then. It's really amazing. The sound quality is great, I feel, for such a small speaker. And it's so easy to use. It just connects to your phone, tablet, or computer through Bluetooth. And so I've been using it to listen to podcasts or audio video recordings, like webinar recordings or conference sessions that I'm catching up on. And it's so nice not to have to wear a headset or like headphones or you know even AirPods for those sort of things, but just having that speaker next to me wherever I am, and I can move around freely while I do other stuff in that room, or I can you know, take it with me to another room, just move around the house freely and not feeling like, you know, I'm so tired of wearing a headset, also because we're on so many Zoom calls and, you know, other stuff where we have to wear a headset. And my family loves it too. We'll listen to a lot of music, especially when we are outside and play with the kids in our backyard. So it's been a hit in our house.
Cool. Now I want one of these. That's cool. All right. Awesome. So this was another fun conversation, and we hope you enjoyed it too. If you have anything you'd like to share with us about finding a mentor or surrounding yourself with positive people who push you to be better at what you do, we'd love to hear from you. Leave a comment on the show notes page for this episode, which you can find on our website, or tag us on social media, or you can email us at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com.
Yes, it's been really fun, and I can't wait to hear from our listeners if something we mentioned has worked for you or if you have other tips on this topic. Next week, our email subscribers will get a summary of this episode, including the links to all the resources that we mentioned today. So if you're not receiving our emails yet, please sign up on our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com.
And if you liked this episode, there are a couple of simple ways you can show your support. Please share it with your colleagues and friends and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. This only takes a minute, and we've recorded a quick video tutorial to show you how to do it. We'll link to that in the show notes.
Talk to you soon. We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered some simple strategies that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover, please send us a message at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, we'd appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And please share the podcast with other translators you know.